I want to focus on one simple truth or one simple concept. I'm just going to talk about one thing today. But this is one of those things that if you apply this, if you do what we talk about today, not to oversell it, but it literally has the potential to change your life. What I want to focus on this morning is the importance and the value of today, the time that we have today. Today is filled with opportunities for every single one of us, opportunities for us to grow, to improve our lives, to achieve our goals. Today is filled with opportunities for us to improve our relationships, to improve our relationship with Christ, to improve our health, our financial well-being. Today is filled with opportunities for every single one of us. But much of the time we miss out on what's available to us today because we get caught up in the frustrations of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow. I want you to notice what Paul says in Ephesians 5:16. He says, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." He points out that today is filled with opportunities. We are surrounded by opportunities in front of us every single day. But he also points out it's possible for us to completely miss those opportunities, to completely be sidetracked and to miss out on what God has placed before us for this day. John Maxwell, author and speaker and former pastor, says that there are three common errors most of us make when it comes to how we handle today. The first one is this: we over-exaggerate yesterday. This is the person who's always talking about the good old days. You know, people like that, they're always talking about the good old days and way back when. And the truth is, some of the so-called good old days weren't really all that good. Like, if you remember back in the middle of COVID, everybody was talking about, we can't wait for things to get back to normal. Normal really wasn't all that good. Let's not go back to what normal was, right? Normal wasn't really all that great. But we tend to focus on the past and we kind of romanticize the past. And I think part of it is because we tend to exaggerate things. Like the saying is, hindsight is 20/20, like as if we see things more clearly from the past. I don't think that's true. I think the more accurate saying is that hindsight is closer to 50/50. About 50% of our recollection of hindsight is true, and about 50% it's just guesswork. We're just adding in details. We're just trying to figure it out. We're really confused about stuff that happened in the past. So, you know, we tend to exaggerate things. Our successes and our failures that happened in the past tend to seem much bigger to us now than they actually were. And so that 4-pound fish you caught when you were 12 years old probably grew by about a pound every year as you told people that story, right? We tend to do that. We exaggerate and we fill in details that don't really belong. The other thing we do with the past is that we tend to focus so much on our past successes that we pay no attention to where we are right now. Again, another saying is that the greatest obstacle to today's success is yesterday's success. Because we have this thing where we had this accomplishment maybe a couple of years ago or maybe way back when, you know, this awesome thing I did back when I was in high school 20, 30, 40 years ago. And wow, that was such a great moment. And we focus so much on how amazing that moment was, we're not paying attention to the fact that maybe we haven't really done anything significant since that time. And the other thing we do is we focus on those successes in the past, but we stop doing the things that got us to that point of success to begin with. We're just spiking the ball about the success we had way back when, but we're not doing anything to help us go to the next victory that God has in store for us. So that's one of the errors that we make, is we tend to over-exaggerate yesterday. The second error we tend to make is that we overestimate tomorrow. We place too much emphasis on tomorrow and neglect the opportunities in front of us today. Here's what I mean by that. We tend to put things off that we could do today and assume that we're going to have time to get them done tomorrow. Like how many times have you said something like this? I know I need to do that. That's really important. It's got to get done. I'll get to it when things finally slow down and I have more time. You've said that, right? Has that ever happened? Like, have things slowed down? It doesn't work that way, right? We do that kind of thing where we have this mindset that at some point in the future, next week or next month or next year, at some point, just magically, I'm going to have all this extra time. I'm going to have all this extra energy, all this extra motivation to do the things that I could be doing and should be doing today. But tomorrow, I'll have time and energy to do it. Somehow, it's just going to happen. You know, we think it's just automatically going to get better. My income, it's going to get higher. My marriage, it's going to get better. My faith, it's going to grow stronger. My health, it's going to improve. I'm going to be in better shape. We expect the days ahead are going to be better. But why do we expect that? Is it some vague hope Or do we expect that because we're actually doing something today to make tomorrow better? To romanticize the future, and we say that things are just going to get better, but unless I choose today to actually do something different, why would I expect that tomorrow is actually going to be any different? So how does life actually change for us? How do we improve things? How do we change things about ourselves and grow and move forward? The only way to do that, the only way to a better tomorrow, is by changing something I do today. And that leads us to the third mistake that we tend to make, and that is that we underestimate today, the power and the potential of today. You'll never change your life until you change something you're doing today. See, change doesn't happen just because I want it to, just because I hope it will, just because I expect it will. Change will happen, growth will happen, only as a result of something that I do today. See, what you do today will determine your health tomorrow. What you do today will determine the strength of your relationships tomorrow. What you do today will determine the depth of your walk with Christ tomorrow. What you do today will either make you stronger or weaker in all of those areas. In the areas is physical health, as far as your work life, your walk with God, your relationships. What you do today will determine whether or not you grow and move forward or stagnate and move backward. Today matters. That's why Moses prayed this prayer in Psalm 90, verse 12. He said, "Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom." Teach us to make the most of our time. Moses understood we have a limited amount of time and we only get one shot at today. We only have one opportunity to live today. So I better be wise in how I live this day and what I choose to do on this day. Paul, again, says something similar. The verse we looked at earlier, Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. He says, "So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days." Over and over again, the Bible reminds us of the importance and the value of today, because we won't get a second chance to relive it. Once it's gone, it's gone. So we need to recognize the value of today. So what I want to do this morning is I want to share some things that I've decided to do every day. And I'm hoping that as I share this, this might spark some thoughts for you as you look at your life and say, there's some things that I need to change. There's some growth that I need to experience. There's some adjustments I need to make. Hopefully this will spark some thoughts for you as far as maybe today is the day I need to actually start doing some of that. So I want to share this because there are some things that I know I need to change about myself, some areas that I need to grow, but I also understand none of that's going to happen on its own. None of that's going to happen unless I choose to do something different today to make that happen, to lead to those changes. So let me also just clarify what I'm sharing. These are not New Year's resolutions. I have a love-hate relationship with New Year's resolutions, as I think most people do. What I'm sharing today, these are some of the things I've started doing a couple months ago. So just kind of sharing with you some of the patterns that I've been building into my life and also sharing with some credibility because I've been doing it for a couple of months now. So let me just share some of these. This isn't all of it, but this is some of it. Today, I'm going to invest in my personal growth. Today, I'm going to make sure I invest in growing as a person, as a man, as a husband, as a father. Look at what Solomon says in the Proverbs, just a few verses here. Proverbs 1:5, he says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Now, I want you to notice who he's speaking about here. He's talking about those who are already wise and those who are already discerning. But he says, you need to add to that. In other words, don't just settle where you are. Don't just say, well, I've grown all that I need to grow. I've learned everything I need to learn. I've made all the progress I need to make. He says, no, if you're wise, add to your learning. Increase your wisdom. If you're discerning, get more guidance. Make sure you're growing in your discernment. In other words, don't just stay where you are and be content. Be thankful for what you have, yes, but continue to move forward. Make sure you're growing. Look at what he says in chapter 19, verse 20. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. He says, there's a lot of wisdom out there. There's a lot of guidance, a lot of instruction. Don't just settle with what you have so far. There's more out there. So get all of it that you can. And then chapter 22, verse 17, he says, listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. This is Solomon, the wisest man in history. And he is encouraging us. He says, get counsel, get advice, keep learning, pursue wisdom, make sure you are growing. And the key word in these three verses over and over again, he says, listen. In fact, that word listen shows up 17 times in the book of Proverbs. Why? Because there are things that we need to hear. There are areas that we need to grow. And there are people that have wisdom, that have insight, that have guidance that we need to receive. And the way to receive that is by listening to others. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people choose not to do that. They did a study a few years ago, and here's what they found. Here in the United States, after graduating from high school, 70% of American people will never again read an entire book after graduating from high school. Now, I'm not saying that reading is the only way to learn. There's a lot of different ways to learn. But what I'm saying is that says something about our investment or lack of investment in learning and personal growth. Because that's a huge opportunity for growth that we are missing out on. For me, I place high value on reading because there's a lot of knowledge out there. There's a lot of wisdom and insight that I don't have that I can gain by investing some time in reading. So some of the things that I do, I get up early pretty much every morning except Saturday. I'm not a morning person. I don't like mornings. I don't have a love-hate relationship with mornings. I have a hate relationship with mornings. I would love to sleep in until 10 o'clock every day. But I get up early in the morning because it's quiet, nobody else is up, and it gives me a chance just to be alone and just to spend some time reading and learning some things that I need to learn. Another thing that I do is when I'm driving, I used to do this all the time, listen to political podcasts. I don't do much of that anymore because all it does is get me angry about things that I can't change. So what I'm doing now more of is listening to audiobooks because there's a lot of great audiobooks out there with a lot of great information and opportunity for me to learn things that will help me to change the things about myself that I need to change. So last year, and I didn't really keep exact records, but I'm going to be more diligent about it this year. Last year, I read somewhere between 40 and 50 books. And most of those had to do with personal growth or spiritual growth. Not like most of what I read has nothing to do with sermon prep or coming up with material to preach on. Most of it has nothing to do with that. It's about how to improve my strengths, how to overcome my weaknesses, and how to become a more consistent follower of Christ. In other words, most of the stuff I read, you'll never hear me mention in a sermon, but hopefully you'll see it lived out in my life because it's intended to help me grow and to change and become more of the man that God wants me to be. Now, I want to share something really practical because I know that reading can be a daunting task for a lot of people. A lot of people don't like reading, and I totally get that. I understand that. It can be draining. It can be overwhelming. There's a ton of information. So let's say you read a book. It's like 300 pages long. That's a lot of information. That's a lot to remember, and it's a lot to say, okay, what do I even do with this? There's so much information. By the time I get to the third chapter, I can't even remember the introduction. What's this book about anyways, right? It just becomes overwhelming. So I just want to share a simple three-step process to help you get the most out of anything that you read. And the three words are ask, evaluate, and plan. Let me go through them. Ask, evaluate, and plan. First of all, ask. After reading the book, what is one thing that caught my attention? What is one thing that just jumped out at me and it's like, okay, I need to pay attention to that. Just one thing, not 17 things, just one thing. Write it down. One thing that caught my attention. Here's the second step, evaluate. How am I doing in that area? That one thing that I wrote down, how am I doing in that area? So let's say you're reading a book on finances and managing your finances wisely. Okay, the one thing is I need to, you know, it says here's this financial principle. Don't write down 17 of them, just write down one. How am I doing in that area? Am I doing well? Is it a strength of mine? Is it a struggle? How can I grow in that area? Evaluate. And then the third step is plan. What's my action plan? What is one thing I can do differently because of what I read in this book? One thing I can change in my life starting today. Does that make sense? So it's just a simple three-step process to take what you read and not have to try to remember every single thing. What was that I highlighted back on page 45? I can't even remember that. But just pick out one simple thing that you can put to work in your life from something you read. That way you're not just reading information and forgetting it. You're taking something practical and changing your life based on the knowledge and the wisdom that you were able to gain. So that's just a simple suggestion. So that's one of the things I'm committed to. I'm committed to personal growth because I need to grow. I need to change. There are areas that I need to work on in my life, and I'm fully aware of that. My family needs me to grow. My church needs me to grow. Part of my job as your pastor is to help you grow. And how am I going to help you grow if I'm not growing? So today, I'm committed to investing in personal growth. Here's the second one. Today, I'm committed to investing in spending time in God's Word. Take a look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. He writes, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." There's so much stuff in there that he tells us about the value of God's word. First of all, it's inspired by God. So when we're reading the Bible, we're reading like this is God speaking to us. This is God's voice to us. That's incredibly valuable. God has something to say to us, and most of what he says to us comes through his word. So it's an opportunity to hear from God. He says it's useful to teach us what's true. Is that important? We need to know the truth, don't we? And we live in a culture right now that is increasingly confused and wants the rest of us to be confused as well. So it's really important for us to know what is true, and that comes from spending time in God's word. He says it helps us to realize what's wrong in our lives. All of us have blind spots. All of us have issues in our lives that you know, something where we're just off a little bit, maybe it's spiritually or personally or whatever it is. And we may not see that if we're not spending time in God's word. But as we read God's word, all of a sudden we realize that's something I need to change. That's an adjustment I need to make. He says it corrects us when we're wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. So what's the right thing to do in this situation? This is a challenge. I don't know how to handle this, how to respond to this. What is the right thing to do? God's word gives us the wisdom to be able to answer those kinds of questions. And then he says God uses it to prepare and equip us. To prepare us and equip us. We need to be prepared. We need to be equipped. We can't do that on our own. God's word does it for us. So there's so much good stuff in there. When I look at that list, like that's stuff that I want in my life. That's stuff that I need in my life. But I'm never going to get it unless I spend time in God's word. Doesn't matter how many Bibles I have on my desk or how many apps I have on my phone that contain the Bible. Just having access does nothing for me unless I'm getting into God's word. If I'm not spending time reading God's word, or if the only time I read the Bible is when I come to church, I'm not really going to benefit much from it. I need to invest time in God's word to get all of that out of it. So I've committed myself every day to spending time in God's word. Now, let me just share with you something I'm doing right now. This might, for some of you, this might inspire you to say, yeah, I'm going to do that too. And for others, it might terrify you and say, no, I have no interest in that. And that's totally fine. I understand that. A few months ago, God put it on my heart to start memorizing scripture. I just started really feeling like I need to have God's word in my heart, so I have it with me all the time, no matter where I am, that I've got God's word, I'm carrying it with me, whether I have access to a Bible or not. So I had done that way back when I was a kid, memorizing verses to get prizes in Sunday school and stuff like that. You've done that too, probably. So I started doing the thing of, you know, getting verses on cards and carrying those cards around and just memorizing a few random verses here and there. I just felt like that's not really it. I need to be doing something different. So what came to my mind is, what about memorizing like an entire book of the Bible? So my favorite book is the book of Ephesians. So I started memorizing the book of Ephesians. I have the first 5 chapters memorized. I'll have chapter 6 memorized by the end of this month. So at the end of January, I'll have all of Ephesians memorized. And by spending time doing that, like next I'm going to go to 1 Peter, then 2 Peter, probably Philippians. By spending time doing that, it's coming more alive to me. I can't tell you how beneficial it is for me just in getting more out of it, just the repetition that's required to memorize something so that it's just right there. And I love what God is doing through that. And just, I see the scared looks on some of your faces. It takes about 10 minutes a day. It's not a huge thing. It's about 10 minutes a day to memorize a verse and to review the verses so far. So that's what I feel God calling me to do. For some of you, you might think, yeah, that's something I would like to do. For others, you're like, I have no interest in doing that. And again, I get that. But I'm encouraging you, whatever you do, do something to get into God's word and to get God's word into you. So that's why we have the reading plans on the handout that you received this morning. I want to encourage you, one of those, the one at the top, it's reading through the Bible in a year. Some of you, if you've never done that, if you've never read through the entire Bible, do that this year. Make an investment. It's 3 or 4 chapters a day. And at the end of the year, you've read the entire Bible. If that's a bit too much for you, then do the one at the bottom. That's the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. It's 1 chapter a day, and at the end of the year, you've read through the entire New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs in 1 year. Whether you memorize Scripture or read a few chapters or 1 chapter or a few verses, whatever it is, do something to get God's word into you. And I want to encourage you to do this too. If you come across something, let me ask this. Have you ever come across something in the Bible that you don't understand or doesn't make sense? I know that's never happened to anyone, right? It's like, what is this? We've all had that, right? What does this even mean? This is so confusing. Let me just encourage you, when that happens, keep at it. Keep reading. Because the more you read it, the more it makes sense to you. And so maybe you came across something in Genesis that makes no sense, but then a couple weeks later, you read something in 2 Kings, and it's like, oh, that connects, and now I understand this. The more you spend time in God's word, the more it comes alive and the more it makes sense to you. But I can guarantee you this, if you come up to something and it makes no sense and you're confused and you quit, you'll never understand it. So invest time in it and let God's word transform you. Here's the other thing I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to write stuff down. Do you realize over 50 times in Scripture, God instructs people to write things down? Over 50 times. Write down what I'm saying to you. Write down what you have just seen. I'm going to reveal to you something that will happen in the future. Make sure you write this down. Over 50 times, God gives that instruction. Write this down. Why do we write things down? We write things down because they're important to us, because they matter, and we want to make sure we don't forget them. Now, we all agree the Bible is God's word. This is God speaking to us. Wouldn't you also agree that when God speaks to us, that matters, that's important, and it's something we shouldn't forget? So when God speaks to you, when God opens your eyes to something in Scripture, write it down. So that way you can go back to it, you can continue learning from it, you can continue mulling it over and letting it do its work in your heart. Now, again, it's kind of a thing of, what do I write down? So I read 3 chapters, what am I supposed to write down? Let me just give you this simple thing. Again, the same pattern we talked about earlier with reading for personal growth, the same 3 things: ask, evaluate, and plan. So as I read that chapter of Scripture, what's the big idea? What's the main thing that grabbed my attention? Again, maybe it has something to do with finances. God's word has a lot to say about finances. So maybe you read a passage that had to do with finances. Then you evaluate, okay, how am I doing in that area? Am I doing what this says? Am I following the patterns that are spelled out in this passage I've just read? And then plan, what do I need to do differently? What's one thing I can start to do starting today to change my life? That's very simple. So that way, what we're doing is, instead of just reading and checking a box and saying, I did my reading for today, we're actually engaging with God's word and allowing it to change us and putting it to work in our lives, applying it and responding to God's voice. It's one of the best tools for spiritual health. So that's why we have those journals back there. They're back there at the top of the stairs. If you didn't get one yet, make sure you get one. Take it home with you. And as God speaks to you, as God works in your heart, write down what he's saying so that you'll always have it with you. So today, I'm committed to spending time in God's word. Here's the next one. Today, I'm committed to taking better care of myself physically. I want you to notice what Peter or Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:8, he says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Now, I know a lot of times we focus on the last part of that verse, right? He says, godliness is far more important. That's what we should focus on. And yes, I agree with that. But I want you to notice he also says physical training is good. He doesn't say it's worthless. He doesn't say don't do it. He doesn't say don't pay attention to that. He says, yes, that is good. God's word pays a lot of attention to our physical well-being, doesn't it? Like our bodies, it says God created our bodies. He didn't just, with mankind, here's one of the differences between mankind and animals. God spoke and said, let there be, and they were created. But with man and with woman, God fashioned us, it says. He put time and effort into us. David says that we are his masterpiece. He knit us together. Our physical well-being, our physical health, that matters to him. And when you look at Jesus' ministry here on earth, much of what he did, a large part of his ministry was what? Healing physical sicknesses. So the way we treat our physical bodies, that is important to God. Take a look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So he says our bodies are the temple. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. If I believe that, then what I'm doing with this, that should matter to me. Now, I'll just be honest with you guys. I don't enjoy exercise at all, not in the least. I don't, you know, some people, they look forward to it. They love it. And they get that, this is awesome. I don't get that at all. I don't look forward to it. I don't enjoy it. It's not fun, and I don't have time for it. But here's what I've discovered. The cost of me not exercising is much higher than what it costs me to exercise. Here's what I believe. I believe that I'm on this earth for a purpose. You all believe that? You're on this earth for a purpose? God put us here to accomplish something. Our physical bodies are the vehicle through which we can accomplish that. If my body is not functioning the way that it should, that's going to hinder me from effectively fulfilling God's calling for me. This is my vehicle for doing what God put me on this earth to do. So I should pay attention to this. I should pay attention to how I'm treating it and what I'm doing and how healthy or unhealthy I am. I don't want my time on this earth to be cut short because I made bad decisions or because I didn't pay attention to things that I should pay attention to. So I made a commitment every day to do a few things to take better care of myself. And here's what that means for me. Three things. Number one, getting rest as much as possible. And I'm not just talking about sleep. I'm talking about taking a step back sometimes, taking a break from things. Our lives are so busy. Our lives are so overwhelming with so many things on our to-do list that never seem to get done. Sometimes we need to just take a step back and say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm just going to rest. And remember, one of God's top 10, one of the 10 commandments is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He calls us to set aside a day to rest because he knew we needed that. That's the one thing. The second thing is paying attention to what I eat and being more careful about that. So a couple of months ago, Sheila and I started a different eating plan. We started changing the way we eat, and we're both seeing the benefits of that. And it's actually addressed some of the physical things that I've been struggling with for the last couple of years and helping out with that. So changing what I eat and changing my eating habits, that's been incredibly helpful. And then the third thing is exercise. So several days out of the week, I spend time exercising, just doing some things to help out. See, here's the thing. I am in my mid-50s. So I have a growing list of ways that my body is rebelling against me and doing things that I don't appreciate at all. We're not going to go into any details. But I have enough areas of my physical health that I have no control over whatsoever. So I'm committed to taking steps, to being proactive, to control the areas that I can control and being more wise in those areas than I have been in the past. So today, I'm committed to taking better care of myself. Here's the last one I'm going to share today. Today, I'm committed to spending time in prayer. Take a look at this from Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 34. It says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Okay. Timeline. When did this all start? What time of day? Evening. After sunset, right? How many people came to the house where Jesus was staying? The entire town, right? It says the entire town came. So this starts after sunset, so it's later in the day. The entire town shows up. And there's a whole bunch of sick people. There's a whole bunch of demon-possessed people. And Jesus ministers to them. He heals the sick. He casts out demons. Does this sound like a late night for Jesus? This sounds like a late night for Jesus, right? I want you to notice the very next verse, verse 35. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. After a very late night and a very exhausting night, Jesus got up early the next morning to spend time alone with the Father in prayer. Jesus was incredibly busy. Everybody wanted to be with him. Everybody wanted to spend time with him, to hear what he had to say, or to ask him some questions, or to be healed by him. Everybody wanted some of his time. And yet Jesus took the time to get away from the crowds and spend alone with the Father in prayer. If Jesus needed that, how much more do I need that? How much more do we need that? He invested in prayer because he understood the importance of that. Let me read a couple paragraphs to you from a book called Spiritual Leadership that talks about the role of prayer in our lives. It says this: many people say there are just not enough hours in the day to maintain a vibrant prayer life. Daniel had enormous government responsibilities, yet he made it his habit to pray at least 3 times a day. When his rivals sought to use political intrigue to oust him from his position and have him executed, Daniel faced imminent and mortal danger. What he did in the next few hours meant life or death. Daniel prayed, as was his custom. When Job entered a dark valley of tragedy, losing his children, his health, and everything he owned, that was not the time for him to hastily seek a closer relationship with God so he would have strength for his trials. In those tumultuous moments, either Job already had a healthy relationship with God, or he did not. When it appeared that Abraham would lose his only son, when Hannah desperately longed for a child but could not have one, and when David's son rebelled against him, each of them sought comfort from God, and their vibrant relationship with him sustained them. Their walk with God was already a vital part of their lifestyle, so they were able to overcome incredible adversities. You get the point he's making, right? The reason these people were able to get through these incredibly painful times was not because they frantically prayed in the moment, all of a sudden prayed when they hadn't prayed before. The reason they were able to get through it with victory is because before those painful times ever came along, they had already established a lifestyle of consistent prayer. Now, you might be sitting there and thinking, well, there's nothing really serious for me to be praying about right now. I don't really have any problems in my life that I need to be lifting up in prayer. I doubt that's true. I see the looks on your faces. But even if that is true, here's the thing. I can assure you, there will come a time when you will desperately need to seek God and hear from him. Praying and spending time in his presence on the good days helps to prepare us and to strengthen our faith when we need to hear him and meet with him on the bad days. I think a simple analogy would be that having a consistent prayer life is kind of like practicing for a sport. There's no athlete who takes what he does seriously. There's no athlete who says, I don't have a game today, so I'm not going to practice today. I'll wait till game day, and then I'll prepare, and then I'll practice. No athlete says that. There's a discipline, there's a commitment to practice and prepare in anticipation because you know game day is coming. And I'm telling you, for every single one of us, game day is coming. And the way you handle that day, when things are challenging, when things don't make sense, when things are confusing, when you don't know where God is, when you don't know if he's going to hear or answer your prayers, the way you handle that day when everything is on the line depends on how you handle today. Depends on whether or not you're taking time to prepare yourself, to spend in his presence, to spend time in prayer, just soaking in God's presence and calling out to him. It depends on today. So today, I'm committed to prayer. So these are some of the things that I've committed myself to doing today, because today matters. For some of you, that may resonate. Some of those may be the exact same things that you say, yeah, that's what I need to do. For some of you, it might be something totally different. I don't know what it is for you. But understand this, you can spend your life any way you want to, but you only get to spend it once. So whatever it is that you need to change in your life, wherever it is that you need to grow, that issue that you've been putting off, that thing that God has been talking to you about, you would say, no, I'll get to it. Whatever it is, I'm urging you to stop putting it off and to start today doing the things that God has been speaking to you about. When we lived in Arizona, there was a man in our church, Bill Green. He had a self-storage facility that he owned and rented out the storage units. And he had a sign out front that he changed every week, and he would always put up like a different, you know, memorable quote or saying, that kind of thing, or a joke, something like that. And the one that I remember, because this really grabbed my attention, out of 8 years of being there, there's one that I remember, and it said this: a year from now, you'll wish you had started today. That really resonates with me. Think about that. What is that for you? That 1 year from now, January of 2024, that you would look back and say, man, I wish I had started this last January. I wish I had started this new habit or changed this thing or walked away from that sin or fixed that relationship or whatever it is. I wish I had started that 1 year ago, because if I had, how different would my life be right now if I'd started a year ago? Whatever that is for you, do it today. Start it today. Because whatever we, as we look ahead to January 2024 and we say, this is what I want my life to look like a year from now, that depends on what we do today. So for some of you, today is the day that you need to get right with God. Because maybe there was a time when you were close with Him, you were on fire for Him, you were pursuing Him, you wanted to live for Him, but other things have gotten in the way now. Maybe it's other things that have become more important to you and they've taken up your time and God's been pushed aside. Or maybe it's a disappointment you have with God because He didn't answer prayer the way you hoped He would. And so you've said, I'm just not going to do that anymore. I don't want to get my hopes built up and I don't want to be disappointed again, so I'm done with that. For some of you, that's where you are. And today is the day to make things right with God and to come back home to Him. For some of you, today is the day to get rid of sin in your life. Because there's that thing that you've been holding on to, and you know it's wrong, but you've been making excuses and saying, well, it's not that big of a thing, or it's okay because God's going to forgive me anyway, so it's okay to keep doing it. Whatever that is, it is messing up your relationship with Him, and it is harming others around you. Today is the day to get rid of that sin. For some of you, today is the day to move forward with God's calling on your life. Because God has given you spiritual gifts and God has given you a passion for something, a calling for something, but you've been putting it off. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. There's other things that are more, whatever it is. And it's time for you to say yes to God, because there's something He wants to do through you that will impact others. And you just need to say yes today and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what You've called me to do. For some of you, today is the day that you need to ask forgiveness because you've hurt someone else. Or to give forgiveness because someone has hurt you. And holding on to that is doing you more harm than you realize. And today is the day to deal with that and be free of it. For some of you, today is the day to start working on your marriage. Because other things, again, it's been put on the back burner and life is so busy and other things have taken over. And so your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your wife, it's been pushed aside and it's suffering. And today is the day to start investing in that relationship and to start doing something different to make things right. Or for some of you, maybe it has to do with making your relationship with your kids better. For some of you, today is the day to start doing that. For some of you, maybe it's one of the things that I mentioned. Reading God's word on a regular basis, or reading for personal growth on a regular basis, spending time in prayer, spending time paying attention to your physical health and doing better in that area. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, I'm urging you, start today, because we only get one chance to live for today. So do something different today. I'm going to close in prayer in just a minute. I just want to ask you, just to seek God in this time. For some of you, you already know what God is saying to you. For some of you, you already know that thing because it's been there already. And you've been fighting with God over it for a while. And when you heard this message, all of a sudden you're like, okay, here we go. Thanks, God. And you know what it is. For some of you, you don't know. I want to encourage you just to take some time to say, God, what is that for me? Because God wants all of us to grow. God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way. God wants all of us to grow and to move forward and to change. Jesus said, come follow me. That's His invitation to all of us. Following Him necessarily means change. Necessarily means leaving some things behind so we can follow Him. What is that for you? If you know what it is, then make a decision and make a commitment to God right now. Today, I'm going to start that process. I'm going to start changing that. If you don't know, then today say, God, I'm open. I'm submissive to you. I'm humble before you. So open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see what that is for me. So God, I want to thank you this morning that you are a God who communicates. You love to speak to us because you love us. I thank you, Lord, that you have a calling for each of our lives, that the way we live our lives, it matters to you, that whether we're moving forward or backward, that matters to you. You see it and you care about it. God, help us to be thankful for where we are, to be thankful for the things you've done. But God, help us to not just be comfortable and content. Help us to have a hunger for more of you, to have a desire to grow, to have a desire to experience the changes that you call us to experience. Your word says that part of your purpose for us is that we would become more like Christ. And that means there's things that have to change in my life. There's things that have to change in each of our lives for that to happen. So God, help us to be diligent. Help us to be committed to that. And I pray that you would speak to us. For some of us, we know exactly what you're saying to us right now about what we need to change. Help us, Lord, to make that commitment and say yes to you and not to resist you. For some, they just don't know. So I pray that you would give clarity and wisdom and insight for those who are seeking you right now. God, what is that that you're calling them to do? What is that area you're calling them to change starting today? Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, and help us to hear what you are saying to us. We thank you and praise you that you speak to us and that your plans are good. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to have a closing song today. Instead, I'm just going to dismiss you, but I'm up here and I would love to pray with you. If there's something God is speaking to you about that you know that you need to make a change, or maybe you're not sure and you just need wisdom, I would love to talk with you and to pray with you. If you need time alone with God, the prayer room is available. And let me just say this, for some of you, maybe that's what the one thing is for you today, is today's the day to start responding. You know, because we have these opportunities to come forward and to pray with somebody, and it's like, I'll take care of it later on. And maybe that's been your pattern. Maybe today is the day to say, you know what? No, I need to get prayer right now. I just need to be honest. And yeah, I'm struggling with something right now, and I just need somebody to pray with me or to pray for me. So I'll be up here to pray with you. Anyone from the Wednesday prayer team, if you're available to be up here to pray with people, we'd love that as well. But if you need prayer for something, please come and receive that before you leave today. So I'm just going to pray one more time, and then you're dismissed. If you need to stick around for prayer, please do that. So God, we just give this time to you. I pray that anyone who needs prayer this morning, who just needs clarity from you, or who needs healing from you, or who needs guidance from you, Lord, I pray that that today would be the day that they come and receive that, and that you would do the work that needs to be done. We lift this up to you, and we thank you that you are faithful, you are good, and you are holy. In Jesus' name, amen.